Before we get started on today's episode, we want to shout out the Real Comedians of Social Media and Love Hour Tour sponsor, African Pride.
African Pride, who have been great partners.
They really have.
In business, and I mean great.
So thank you so much for partnering with us, African Pride, on the tour. What you can look forward to see as attendees of the conference. Well, let me speak those things that are not.
Come
as though
on
they
in
were.
There. Yes, he is. He's a mighty
but
God.
As you can, what you can expect to see as attendees of the tour are giveaway bags. The Love Hour, we play a game and we'll have a little, giveaway full size.
Full size. African Pride ain't sending no little sample.
They sent me full-size jars that we'll be giving away during the Love Hour. We're going to be doing giveaways on the podcast as well. I will be announcing the rules for that here shortly. Thank you so much. Shout out to African Pride. Thank you so much for sponsoring the tour this year.
Amen.
All right, let's get into the episode.
Amen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour podcast. I am your host, Ms. Kev on Stage, and I'm joined, as always, by my husband and co-host.
The Kev on Stage.
And he is exhausted, so before y'all start lighting him up in the comments, he gonna be yawning.
Thank y'all. Thank you for protecting me.
The whole episode, because he is exhausted. He's been working out, and he just came back from the road yesterday.
Walking. I'm all out of sorts. We usually shoot the Love Hour first.
Yeah.
It's a more mellow podcast. Yes. Then Doughboy turns me up for Righteous and Ratchet. You went to the dentist. I'm all out of sorts.
Yeah, we did. I got a clean bill of dental health today, too.
Oh, did you? Why didn't you get no gold grill?
I should have.
You could come and Love Hour like this.
Also, our original, what's the person called that cleans your tip? Thank you. The hygienist. She quit.
What she quit for?
She got married and her husband, now husband, is going to be a dentist. And she was like, I don't have to work, so I'm not going to. So
shout out to her.
I'm out. So I'm really sad. I know I do too, because I love my dentist and I love my hygienist. I was like super sad that she wasn't there. So anyway, when you
wait, she ain't gonna work for her husband, the dentist, but she worked for another man that was a dentist. Wow.
Well, she was engaged before.
Wow.
Child, huh? Wow. She made the right move, because y'all be acting a donkey. And before I say I do, let's keep everything separate. Okay. Today's. So we have actually a submitted this or that question.
Really?
Yes. So I wanted to do it.
Okay.
Okay. So this
I have
was
this or that too.
Do you? We can do both.
Okay. Can I do mine first?
Okay. Go.
Okay. Would you rather be, Stephen Curry with all his social media, or Aisha Curry and one of the attention of men?
I literally can't.
Let me tell you what, Melissa Fredericks, if you and so ever. To be like, I don't get another attention from men.
I don't think I don't think I would ever utter those words aloud, but I think I think without fully talking to Aisha, and I've seen
I'll show you a little clippy clip.
Yeah, I think you've shown me a portion of one clip and that's it. And I don't really follow Steph or Aisha that much in detail to even get a glimpse into this is what I think she means. But just on my personal, what I think she means, I think I get it.
Yeah. We talked about it at length on Righteous and Ratchet. I think I was being silly, but I think what it was is she led with it's an insecurity.
Yes.
And she did what people don't often do on social media. Tell the truth about how you feel and how our feelings. I said this on Righteous and Ratchet. I just want to tell you, our feelings are often irrational. Without logic.
Absolutely.
But that is still how you feel. I can see you being like, man, what? I don't even get like, am I cool? Like
100% agree that, and that's why it's important to acknowledge your feelings, but not be led by them, because they often are irrational and they don't make sense and they can lead you astray. However, to have this insecurity and I feel like she's probably just questioning, is he so much the prize? What do I have to offer? What am I here? Like, who am I? Yeah. And I understand that if you are always associated as Miss Steph Curry, you can lose your value. You can lose your identity all up in who he is.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, I get that. And I think when you are.
But let you tell some men. Because it all comes to be seen as a hoo-dee-hoo call for the man to be like, oh, girl, you fine.
She very clearly said,
she said, I don't want it.
I don't want the attention. And I think that's what people think of what she's saying as like a thirst trap. Like she's looking for this attention. And I actually think it's the exact opposite. She probably just needs to either like some self-assurance and maybe some reassurance from her husband.
People don't often work through their feelings on social media.
Right.
We talked about this on
Lexi. What was the context of the conversation?
And that's the other thing. I haven't seen the full episode. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you get a 57 second clip. Exactly. You didn't hear the 10 minutes before mm-hmm. and the 10 minutes after.
And it was women, right?
It was all women.
Yeah. So.
They were talking about being married to NBA players. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of context that comes with longer conversations.
Absolutely.
But the internet, we pull in on the, and I, if you don't see her point, I get it too.
Yeah,
you
know, I do too.
Because if you said that, I would be.
Sure.
I wouldn't be trying to hear none of that. I'm only can say this because it ain't you. If it was you, I'd be like, oh, so you just, oh, so but, what they said,
but what I believe,
so what it, nah,
stop it. What I believe is her underlying sentiment. I have said, and I think what's hard for
no, I'm talking about you saying
outright what she said. I haven't said, but what I'm saying at the root of what she's saying, I have expressed
the base of the feeling is sometimes because he casts such a large shadow, I wonder how much I matter to people. And that probably has nothing to do with Steph.
No, and that's what I was going to say. The other thing is that majority of the world aren't married to a basketball player that is Steph Curry.
It's an unusual situation.
The majority of the world isn't married to a Kevon State. You know what I mean?
It's tall, handsome.
Right. All of the
fast,
things.
Fast, can dunk a basketball.
Not faster than me, though.
Rim is 7 feet.
Asterisk.
Not faster than you.
Asterisk.
True.
But what I was going to say is that, so it may be hard to conceptualize what she's saying if you aren't married to someone who is such a huge personality.
That's funny. And you know what? Doughboy said something that I think actually makes more sense now.
I felt like my phone was talking just
then. Yeah, it was. Doughboy said she wouldn't be saying that if Steph Curry worked at Sears.
Right.
And if Steph Curry worked at Sears, he wouldn't have the social media presence. The feelings wouldn't be the same.
Exactly.
Her feelings are the way they are because her situation is the way it is.
And that's why context matters. That's why nuance matters. And to pull out a clip and to say whatever without that context is actually a disservice to what she's truly, the message she's truly trying to get across.
Right. But just if you say
all right,
like
we get it.
It's going to be a problem. Also, you guys suggesting this or that. I like this.
I do
because
too.
Sometimes I feel like I don't have good ones. The more y'all help with the podcast, the easier it is to do. What y'all want to talk about, this or that suggestions. It's a communal experience.
Absolutely. I concur. So the submitted this or that is from at Charles Berkeley. I don't know if it's a play on Charles Berkeley. I have no idea. But this was his submitted question. Would you rather never have to sit in traffic ever again in life? That means no matter where you drive or the time. Or would you rather deal with traffic but get paid $1 for every minute you spend in your car driving for the rest of your life?
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was really good, right?
My initial reaction is to get paid, but I've already spent so much of my life in traffic. I wish this was an option before when I had to, go to ADD and spend an hour and a half in traffic each way. Get paid in
$1 for every minute you spend in your car driving for the rest of your
never,
life.
Ever be
or
in traffic
never
again?
Be in traffic again, no matter where you are, time
in New
of day.
York?
Doesn't matter.
I'd get paid.
You guys would get paid?
Yeah, because I'm almost used to traffic now. I factored it in. At least I'm getting paid for it. And the cities that we've been to that that don't have traffic, I was thinking about Jade. But then again, imagine living in LA without traffic.
I'm going to take no traffic.
Man, let me just say something.
I can make a dollar.
On Jewish holidays in LA, you can really get to places in 20. You realize that the city is not huge.
No, it's not.
At least the part where we live in.
Right.
It's just you're in traffic so much.
Right.
Man, that's a good one, Charles Berkeley.
I think that the one commodity in life you can never get back is time. And I would rather use my time doing what I want to do instead of being forced to sit in traffic because I literally, there's no other way to get to where I'm going. So I'm reclaiming my time.
I think I take the money.
I'm outvoted though.
Because I don't really drive as much as I used to now that I don't go to work every day. So I'm not in traffic nearly as much. And just to be like, man, I was in traffic 30 minutes, here go $30. I'll be like, dang, that's
Be an Uber driver then.
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
It's the same ish. It's not really the same, but it's the same ish.
Oh, you're saying same ish.
Yeah.
Like you're saying ish like.
No, I mean like it's kind of the same.
Got it.
Like black-ish.
Your time is valuable. And also, if you have more time, you could potentially do something that makes more money.
Precisely.
I could do more comedy shows if I had more time.
Hello?
To about traffic.
Or you could just not be in traffic.
And there's so many times you factor in traffic, then you don't even get it. You left so early, and then you're... Give me the money, though.
I got student loans. Man, for real. I get it.
People always like, Kevin, Melissa, Rich. How can I be rich and have student loans? Name one rich person who's real rich and has student loans.
They do not coexist.
And I can't pay it off right now, but I must pay it off, so I ain't rich. The moment my student loans paid off, my kids going to college.
For real. In real life. Or that's not. How it's going to work out.
Hopefully they can just work for the company or do their own thing.
Okay, so we're going to move into today's topic. And I want to start off by saying I'm calling it a companion or sister episode to last week's episode.
Companion piece.
A companion piece. A part two, but not really.
You hate the word part two. I don't know why.
I do. I feel like I try to get as much meat off the bone in one episode as possible. So part twos are never, they're never as fulfilling.
But when you eat wings, you leave all the meat on there. So why don't you treat this podcast like you treat them wings? At least, I mean. I know, that's why I get to the gristle, because I go all the way to the meat.
Yeah,
you see the wing sheets? It'd be a whole wing on there. It looks like a chicken ate the chicken wing. It's all picked.
It looks like a chicken ate the chicken wing. Shut up.
So do you just want to call this a new episode?
I want to call it
a new title.
It is going to be a new title.
But it's a companion piece.
But I think it is a companion piece, because last week we talked about a man who we can go there first. So a woman wrote in and was talking about her husband who of 20 years, I think, and he hadn't gone down on her.
Mm-mm. He only took the subway uptown. He never went downtown.
I was trying to figure out
Downtown. Where the party at? Downtown.
I was like, that's not a song.
Yeah, where the party at? The Bacardi at?
No, I know that. It's not where the party at. Downtown.
It's quiet downtown.
There you go.
Come on, man. Making my way downtown.
And I'm homebound. Okay.
And I'm cooch bound. Leave it. That's how you eat it too.
Stop!
And I need you. And I'll lick you.
Okay. So, a couple things I wanted to just briefly say about that episode. Number one, sexologist Jamira commented.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you remember this. Yes. This was so good.
It was so good. So in the email, she said that, her husband said he's waiting for the right time or the right moment.
And it's been 20 years. And
he hasn't.
You don't even know how many licks it takes to get the tootsie pop.
No, he does.
One, two.
Okay, stop.
Three.
Okay, you're done.
He don't know.
Okay. So one of the things that sexologist Meyer suggested is the question, what does the perfect time the perfect time look like to make this scenario happen?
Yes.
And I thought that was such a simplistic, but such a great question.
Because now you're forcing someone who has the idea of something.
A theory.
And actually, this extends beyond sex.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good question for any time somebody says, and that might not even be in a marriage relationship.
Sure.
That's just a good question. But in the theory of sex, like, because now you're forcing your partner to say, okay, now what is it? On vacation? Is it you just took a shower? Right. You just got waxed, or you never get waxed? And I'm in there. I'm in the jungle. In the jungle, the mighty jungle.
It's just going to be heavy, son.
But you know what I mean? But now, because what I think sometimes people say, like her husband, they say that and they really are never really thinking practically of when that'll be.
Exactly.
It's just something you say. To you know, kind of like pass it off.
Yeah, kick the bucket down.
To push this conversation, and you're not thinking critically. And when your spouse asks you, well, what does a good time look like that for? Because you could say, I want to save money. Okay, but now's not a good time.
Right.
Okay, so what does a good time look like?
What does it look like? I think that it opens up a doorway for the lower desire, or whoever the person is in the scenario.
The non-licker. For the licky.
To really think about what, because otherwise you're either saying this is the perfect scenario and we've never done it, let's go about creating that, mm-hmm. or there really isn't a perfect scenario and I don't want to do this.
Can you imagine?
Well,
I don't want to do this.
But the thing is,
I don't want to do you.
But listen, that truth comes with a lot more acceptance than the hope for the other spouse, yeah, for the other partner, who is, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm hoping it's going to happen.
He keep says hope he's alive, into, brother.
Right. But now we're 20 years in and I'm still holding on, and we've never come across this scenario. So now you present to me the perfect scenario and I will go about recreating this to make you comfortable so we can get this thing going.
Comfortable.
Correct.
I want to say one thing.
Okay. Can you then transition us?
Yeah. I don't know the first one though.
Third left.
Okay. One thing that I thought was really funny in the comments about this topic, so many of the women would be like, ain't no marriage.
Ain't no marriage.
If you ain't doing this, and we ain't even married. We don't even talk anymore. Wait, no. Counsel me. Counseling. This must be fixed right now. But yeah, there's a lot of different ranges of sex in marriage. Mm-hmm. And with third love, there's a lot of different ranges of bra sizes. Third love.
I didn't know where you was going.
Is an amazing bra company. And I just want to say this, and I'll let you speak more to it because you wear bras. I take them off. Third love has 78 sizes,
including half sizes.
Including half sizes and all the way up to I.
Yes, from double A to I. You guys, and I forgot to do my giveaway. So let's create a situation for the giveaway. I want to do a giveaway, and you have to... I don't know. What's something we could say like on the YouTube? Because I think I want to make it YouTube specific giveaway.
Comment you can say?
Yeah.
Just type the number 78.
Good one.
Type the number 78 in the comments. That means you know what we're talking about. We'll have Serena pick one of those out and we'll give you a
You got
bra.
It, Serena? Okay. We'll get your size.
It's on Melissa's YouTube page because the comments are off on mine.
Yes. So go
watch
to
this on Melissa's YouTube page.
Miss Kev on Stage's YouTube page. Comment the number 78 and we will pick a winner and send you out a bra because I believe everyone should try this bra. It's absolutely amazing. So let me tell you about it. You guys already know my experience. I am in the process of overhauling all of my undergarments to be third love. I've almost successfully done this. I have. So they have, let me tell y'all all about it. They have the 78 sizes. They have half sizes. They go from double A all the way up to I. All you have to do is go to their website. You take a fit finder quiz. They ask you about like the shape of your size, the cup, like what you normally wear, all these different kind of questions. It's not very long. It's like 60 seconds. And then at the end of it, they suggest bra size. They obviously, you can pick the bra size that you normally wear, and then they suggest a sister size as well, and then they'll send both of those out to you and you get to decide which one is more comfortable.
Oh yeah,
it's actually really nice. So the funny thing is, when I first did it, I chose the size that I want that was best, and then I realized I was wrong, and so recently I went with their suggested size and I like it better. So they be knowing. They be knowing more than
I do.
You
take your bra off quickly when you get home because it's uncomfortable? Have you found yourself keeping third love bras on more?
I don't take them off as aggressively.
Oh boy, them years, you stupid, and I hate this job.
Because they start, they just get uncomfortable. Why are you jumping your bra? Just like a lot. It's just a lot. It's just a lot. It's just extra layers of clothing that's unnecessary. They have 100% fit.
Free the nipple.
Yes. 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and third level wash it and donate it to a woman in need. That's so fantastic. Isn't it? Like, they're so freaking great. And the bras are like really amazing.
Good bra. Good clean.
Yes. I usually, or the only ones that I've tried so far are the cotton t-shirt bra, I think is what it's called. That's my favorite. That's the one that I use all the time. So Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/lovehour now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/lovehour for 15% off today.
Today.
All right. So we talked about what Shamira said.
Yes, okay. Which I think you should write that down in your marital book.
What
does the perfect day look like?
What, if anything? Because
that's kind of like our quarterly bonus thing.
It is.
Because I think for you, it was, okay, I want to try something new. I need to be out of my house.
So this is a good segue.
Okay.
To the topic. Keep going.
Well, for you, you're like, I need out of my house for vacation. Just the boys being there doing something like that. Even though the boys don't come in our room ever unless the Wi-Fi is off. I just want to pause and tell a funny story. We always talk about how kids, as they age, they don't come out of the room ever, mm-hmm. right? And we joke about the Wi-Fi being off, the reason, because our kids literally don't even talk to us if the Wi-Fi works. We were visiting my brother in Chicago. His daughter's 17 years old, and she's at prime, I don't come out of my room age. We visit her, come all the way to Chicago, go give her a hug. We don't see this girl for hours. There's an explosion in his neighborhood. The house shook. There's a big fire
explosion. And it wasn't like earthquake shake. It was like...
It was like a bomb.
Four people died.
Like the whole house shook. The glass shook. Finally, this girl comes out of the room like, did y'all hear that? Girl, did we hear this huge explosion?
It was so
scary. That's how bad teenagers are. Only an explosion brought this girl out of her room.
It was super scary.
Yeah, it was. Melissa was Russian. Everything with Melissa is the doggone Russians, boy.
I'm such a conspiracy theorist.
She is the Russians. The Russians this, the Russian that.
I'm telling you, I was thoroughly convinced. My initial thought was earthquake. And then you're like, hold on, we're in Chicago. They don't have earthquakes. From earthquake that was actually quite strong to just be an earthquake. Oh my God, we're under attack.
You would not have made it during the Cold War when it really was about to be the Russians.
Listen,
the Russians have moved on to Twitter hacking and Facebooking.
They have.
They're beating us in a more susceptible way.
Yes, you're right.
You don't even know you're in a battle.
This is facts, Kev. That's so scary. You just scared me a little bit more.
Oh God.
Okay.
I can never go out of town. You're rushing them and shine my light in your eye. All right, go ahead. That
was a good callback. Shut up. So how I was going to segue is that, you were talking about that context for me. So how to make this the most comfortable to allow these sexual fantasies to come. What?
I just thought of something.
What? Go.
The nudes conversation.
Yes.
You said something you're open to. You haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. I can use Shamira's question. What does a perfect time look like for you? What's a scenario? And will this would work? Because this is very much important to me. Muy importante. I can say that in two languages. So what's a scenario that we could create that would...
Let me think about it. I'll get back to you. I actually have some things in mind.
But do you?
Okay, because
don't
tell
me I just don't want to do it because I'm going to be sad.
No, but honestly, I think that question helps whoever's being asked to think about that.
Think about this.
To think about, is this actually something I want to do? And if I do, what's the scenario in which I'll do it?
Yeah.
And if you can't think of a scenario,
then just say, I don't want to do it. And I think, I know you haven't said that. I think, like you were saying about the guy or the wife, although the truth is hurtful sometimes, mm-hmm. at least it's, I just can't do that. Like there's some sex things, I'm sure, so many things in marriage that you just want to do and you can't, you know, you just are uncomfortable. I've talked about this a lot, travel things, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And it's better. I feel like it'd be better for a partner to say, this is just something I'm not comfortable with at this time than to be like, yeah, maybe forever. Right. Like if it's going to be no, just tell me no.
Right.
Okay.
So one of the things that, I'm going to start my book club in June, but I'm thinking about starting it this month because I started this book today. I started this book today and I literally only listened to the introduction and then like a little bit of the first chapter. And I was like, oh my gosh, this book is already so life changing. And I got there from listening to another podcast and she mentioned intimacy and sex, accelerators and breaks. And I was like, ooh, I really like those terms. Like I want to learn more about it. So I started researching and it led me to this woman's book and it's called Come As You Are. Hold on. It's called Come As You Are, The Surprising New Science That Will Transform Your Sex Life by Emily Nagowski. And I am 3 minutes in on the screenshot that I took it and I was already like, oh no, I need to make sure that I remember this and post this on our social media because it is so good. So the concept of accelerators and breaks is this, that in... First of all, that sex is more than just a behavior. Mm-hmm. It is more than just the physical act.
It's more than just bumping uglies.
It's more than just bumping uglies.
They're ugly down there. At least men's is ugly.
Okay. So it's more than just PMVG. It's more than just intercourse. That's what we should say. It's more than just intercourse.
Say PMVG. It's funnier.
Okay. It is the, it is a psychological, biological, and the social construct that we believe that drive that behavior.
That is really interesting because you don't think about that.
You don't think about,
like, obviously we think of sex as the, like, act.
The physical act, yes.
You know, but you don't think of, like, how you were raised view helps you. Absolutely. How much your parents talk to you, your religious background, your comfortability with your body, regardless of shape. You can be in great shape and uncomfortable. Yep. You can be in quote unquote poor shape and comfortable, but all that stuff, how you feel, your health, your, you know, your stress levels, like all of that creates, like, I would say your mindset. Absolutely. For sex and your, you know, even if you say you had bad sexual relationships before, you were taken advantage of, maybe you, sexual assault, or you got to sex later, or you really active early. You know what I mean? Like, until you brought this up, I never thought about how many factors
absolutely
weigh into your sexual, framework.
Right.
And your desire. Even like when you, before you had kids. Your thoughts after you have kids, your home, depending on where you are,
yes, all of those things play a role and they're going to drive your behavior.
Right.
And we don't think about those. So often when we see like movies and all of those things, sex is very siloed, and in real life, sex is in context.
Yes.
I just made that up right
now. That was so good. Up top. That's so true, because, you know, and it's a shame of how much we think about sex through movies, but even in life, even when you talk about sex, birds and bees, parents, whatever, you never think about that. No. I'm 35, 36. Like, you maybe had a thought in the back of my mind, but you never think of the whole scope of what your sex life is. Absolutely. You just think of like, I'm going to give an example. Remember times in our marriage where I would go to have sex with you or try to have sex and you'd be like, nah, or whatever, right? Every time that happened, my thought was, she doesn't want me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I never even thought of like tired. Like, right. This before I realized that you have to get your mind there. You have an exhausted day. You just can't go. For men, it is literally go time.
Well, and that's part of the book, is that she's like normalizing. What she says is that there is a variety in normal. Mm. I know. So I thought that was so profound, because a lot of times, and just going briefly back to this episode or last week's episode, and I just really quickly want to really apologize. I'm going to say apologize. I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say apologize. Because I kept saying that the norm is that women are lower desire. I kept saying that. And I received only a couple. It wasn't very many. But because I received a couple, I recognize it might be a problem larger, and some people are emailers, some people aren't, so they may not say anything.
Some people just mad at you
exactly.
in the comments.
Exactly. And I want to be clear in saying, I was talking statistically that women are normally the lower desire,
right?
Or typically the lower desire. However, if you are a higher desire woman, you are also normal.
Yeah, you didn't mean that being higher desire is abnormal.
Exactly.
You're just thinking the norm in most relationships.
The norm as far as norm, what's typical, because yeah. I don't want to say norm. So what's typical, and that's what I kept saying, and I don't want to stigmatize or isolate
right.
those women that are higher desire, because the fact of the matter is
normal is
that
relative.
Is, you're right, yeah. Normal is relative, and that is normal.
Right.
There is variety in what's normal. Bless you.
Thank you.
And so I don't want to isolate, you know, I don't want to isolate anyone, to be honest. So I want to apologize if you're offended by that comment. That was not my intent. So her point is that there is a lot of variety in normal. And so what strikes me as an accelerator, what's important to me, are things that I am more sensitive to that will turn me on. And things that are breaks are things that I am more sensitive to that will turn me off.
Yes.
And that's going to vary from person to person. But whatever it is for me doesn't make me any less normal than you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So then my question is, or what I wanted to talk about, because I was like, oh my God, I never really thought about what are, and I don't know if we do this at all. And I feel like it's actually a missed opportunity in like premarital counseling. I don't know if you could really do it if you're like a virgin, but something we should think about. What are your accelerators and what are your breaks? Are you aware of what turns you on? Are you aware of what turns you off?
I don't know about, are you asking me?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this. My drive to my dentist is about an hour. So I had 2 hours of sitting, not in traffic.
Imagine
actually, that's just, I'd be $120.
Terrible at math. I was like, you have $100. Wait, that's not right. That's not 100 minutes. Okay, bye. I'm glad I don't have to go to school no more, because that math was knocking me upside down.
I think most people do that, though. But in the ride, on the ride, so while I was researching this to begin with, probably about 30 minutes before I left, my hour ride to the dentist, I actually thought about it when I was getting my teeth cleaned. And then on my way home, I was literally thinking about, am I aware of my accelerators? Mm-hmm. Am I aware of my brakes? I think it is, we are more aware of brakes
for sure
than we are accelerators. Maybe for you, it's different.
It's absolutely different.
But for me, and I don't want to say for women, I want to be very specific to me.
That's good. You can always be honest about your experience.
My experience. So my experience is burping, gas. Those things are brakes for me.
Ooh,
house
shoot.
Dirty.
You're in trouble.
Those things are brakes for me. Because they are, because again, it's biological, it's bio, it's psychological, and then it's also social construct.
Yeah.
All of those things are going to drive my behavior. Mm-hmm. So physically, it would be body image. Those are things that would be a break for me.
Your body image?
My body image. How I see and view myself because it's negative would be a break.
Oh, I see. Oh, I thought this had to be something that your partner does.
No, it's twofold. It could
be things. Oh, there's some breaks that are you alone.
It's just like, hold on, before we go there, we should do this book.
Yeah.
Okay. So Melissa is starting a book club. Melissa is me. I am her. She is me. We are she together. We are going to do Pierce. We are going to do a book club. Miss Kev on stage.com has a pop-up chat with Fierce Illustrated Melissa with the book of the month for June. Mm-hmm. And that is Every Woman's Battle. However, I'm going to post on the day this episode comes out the book that I'm reading this month, which is Come As You Are by Emily Nagowski.
Yep.
It is available on Audible. They are sponsors of the podcast, and I'm super, super excited. They have an expansive list of books. Start listening with the 30-day Audible trial, and your first audio book plus two Audible originals are free. Visit audible.com/lovehour or text lovehour to 500-500. Again, the book that I am reading is Come As You Are by Emily Nagowski. This is the front of the book. Can you do a little picture thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you guys cannot see, but he'll do a little picture. I think this is so funny because it's like a zipper.
It's a vagine.
But it's a vagine. And I just,
I was going to look at it, but then I was like, is that okay to look at another vagine?
Yeah, you guys cannot see.
Only one vagine for me. I'm a one vagine type of guy.
Yes, please be. Okay. So one more time, you're going to go to audible.com/lovehour or text love hour to 500-500. And that is to start your 30-day Audible trial and get your first Audible book, audio book, plus two free Audible originals for free. Everybody on board?
Yes.
All right. Hey. So this book. So yes. Brakes, that's what I was talking about. So
burping and gas. So when I want the draws, I should not burp in gas.
No, but I've already told you that.
I know, but my stomach hurts, my stomach hurts. But then I just gotta know that, hey, if you're gonna be pooping all day, then your chances is low.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes I mean,
it's just
gotta wait.
It's just, but it's also just a turn off.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But how do I get you back?
So let me go through my list, Josh.
Because I'd be like, man,
my stomach gonna hurt for no one.
I'm trying to accelerate. I'm trying to only accelerate.
So this
I know what we were talking about. We were talking about your body image is in the decelerator for you.
So that would be a break for me. A dirty house would be a break for me. I'm trying to think what else. And so as I was thinking about, I was like, oh my gosh.
Tell me all the things that I didn't do.
Okay. The point is that it's very easy to recognize turn offs. Where I was getting like, oh my God, I've never thought about this before is what are turn ons?
Yeah.
And because I think that I am not what did she call it? Sexually spontaneous person. I am more sexually responsive. Mm-hmm. So what that means is you don't have, just natural like sex urges. Why are you laughing?
Let me tell you one thing that was so funny. Yeah. I don't know if I should say it.
Go with that thought. So, So, let me help you. So because of that, it's very easy to get in my own head and like be worried about like these other breaks or these other factors and draw me out and therefore not be responsive to sexual advances.
Yes.
And that can be like a damper on a relationship.
Yeah. So what are the accelerators?
So that's the thing. As I've been thinking about this, like, freaking all morning, I have not really been able to come across what are concrete accelerators for me. And that is such a huge problem because it
that means I can only decelerate you.
True, but also
and you can't accelerate yourself.
No, it's not. So this is what I'm thinking.
I want you to help me get the more.
Okay,
sex.
If you stop talking, I can talk. What it says is that I can tell you what not to do. I can't tell you what to do.
You know what's funny about that for you? In our sexual explorations, our Lewis and Clarks, you, even in that, you're like, hey, that doesn't feel good. Or don't do that. But what feel good? Right. Just don't do that.
And
what should I do? I don't know. Don't talk to me about it.
I think it speaks to, again, going back to sex is biology, psychology, and social construct. It goes back to the purity movement. And I think that movement impacted men and women differently.
Oh, yeah. Men, we weren't trying to be pure. All we were trying to do was take your purity, and that was a notch on our belt.
Exactly.
There was no reward for being a pure man.
So if my body is the prize because it is pure, I can't explore what feels
you
good.
You can't even explore. Is that breaking a purity movement? See what you like on your own?
Yes.
That ain't pure. It's you. What you got to wash? No. What if you wash and you're like, oh, I kind of like that. I'm unpure.
Well, it would fall under masturbation.
You got to get in there and clean that thing. Just take your time. See what it feels like. As you're cleaning, be like, I like that. And this maybe it's way dirty. It doesn't have to be really dirty.
Do you have a question?
Oh, no. It's very dirty today. You've been in the shower an hour. I'm dirty. I'm very dirty. I just want to see why I'm dirty in this one area.
Everybody in here is having a good time.
I was just cleaning, and then I said, this bed much dirty. I think that's really interesting because we talked a lot about how much your mindset plays into it. So when we were married, we were 20, you were 20 years old, right? You were one of the few people, actually, I can't even say that I knew anybody else that was a virgin at that age, at the ripe old age of 20. And those years of purity achieved one goal for you, then made something else very difficult for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're 36 next month?
Hello, 35.
No, I said 36 in 2 months.
No, okay. Just stay at 35, though.
Okay. The residuals of those thought processes haven't washed away.
Oh, absolutely not.
And you haven't needed that thought process in regards to sex for almost 20 years.
And that's why I say that brainwashing to me is believing a falsehood when confronted with the truth. And to me, that is why... We've been married for how many years now? 15 years.
15 in 6 weeks.
15 years. And I'm still dealing with that brainwashing because I now know better. I have researched and read and talked and have a podcast surrounding things that are better than how I was taught, better than what I once believed.
Yeah.
And I still have struggles overcoming them. That is brainwashing.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Do you think there's any way to undo that stuff for you?
I think I am doing the work.
Is there a way to speed that up for the good of the community? I am the community. I think it's really interesting. I never really thought about, like, I think that thought that you introduced earlier is really kind of ringing in my head.
What is?
About sex being a conglomerate of everything, mm-hmm. especially how you're raised, religion, family, how you were taught. You're talking about it, lack of body image, self-image, how mm-hmm. comfortable you are with yourself and how that plays in. That's really interesting because you don't think about the fact that you're thinking about that all the time.
Right.
Or you're not even thinking about it. It's just ingrained Absolutely. In who you are. So it's not even a thought to cast aside. It's like part of your, you know,
core
genetic makeup, core programming.
Your core programming. Another thing the book talked about, and I thought this was also so good, and I feel like I've gone through this too. And I think it speaks to not knowing what turns me on for real. Like I really need to like really sit down and think about this.
I really want you to.
So she talks about when you are, what she called it, non-concurrence. I called it incongruence. tomato, tomato.
Semantics.
Semantics.
Who's that?
And so what she talks about is when you are, again, this is all in the intro chapter.
Yeah. Okay? Fit me a fire book.
This is not, I've barely got into chapter one. I got all of this information just in the intro. And I was like, Lord have mercy. I need to pull over and write all these notes down. But she was talking about, okay, so sexual nonconformance or incongruence. And that is when your mind is turned on, but your body is not.
Yeah.
And she was saying how you feel broken. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, no, I think I am aroused. Like, I feel good. Like, let's move on. Let's do this. And your body is like, yeah, but we're dry. And mm-hmm. so that will also play a role in, that's the context. Man. What do you think it is?
Just so many thoughts. I don't know if I can say them. I don't want to embarrass you, but it's this is really uncovering a lot of thought process. Or it's helping me to understand you in a lot of different ways.
Man, listen, I was reading this book like I should have read this 20 years ago.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you one. I think I'll be okay with this. If not, we'll erase it. When we first got married.
Mark the time.
Mark the time. You might have to erase it, Josh. When we first started getting married, I didn't know much about helping you reach the promised land.
Okay.
Okay. After a while, I learned the ways to help you. When you first started reaching the promised land, you were like, oh my gosh, I don't like that. I don't like that feeling. I don't mm-hmm. want to do that. I feel weird about that. And I'd be like, oh, what?
I don't remember that, but they keep going.
Okay. Well, you was. You'd be like, it's too much. I cannot take. It's too much. And you would, and I hypothesize because those thoughts of this is wrong, this is dirty, the sheer enjoyment factor, like you're never taught this is something you should enjoy. And I think for us, I think about this a lot, actually. We grew up in the church so much that the church taught us things that our parents should have taught us.
The church, okay.
Right? And because our parents didn't teach us, mm-hmm. the church was teaching us do not have sex because it's going to lead to unplanned pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It's a sin. You're going to go to hell. There was, and I'm not saying all church. I'm talking about the church I was raised up in. It wasn't even like, find your wife and sex is pure.
I remember even to the point where our first lady at the time, she did a prayer over us. I don't know if you were
what
there.
What did she
pray? Where.
I remember this. Yeah.
She was praying. So there were a few teenagers in our church that were coming up pregnant. And so she prayed this prayer that if you are having sex, I pray that God exposes you and you do get pregnant.
I remember that.
That type of fear that is now associated with this act.
It's a wild prayer.
Does literally, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
And so even again, you say I do and your brain is like, but I'm gonna get pregnant. But girl, you married now. It's okay. But no, I can't get pregnant.
And that's funny because when you got pregnant with Zay, your first reaction was like, oh no.
Yeah.
What have I done?
It was different, but absolutely. I'm sure that there was some of that still lingering.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's purity residue.
Absolutely. And it's not healthy. And we have to, what I actually believe is not that the church is teaching you things that your parents should have. I think that the church isn't teaching you about sex. I think what they're teaching you is not to have sex.
Yeah.
And that is what's carrying over versus teaching you how to, and so then you're looking for this
sex
positive.
Sex was a wholesome thing you should be doing
right,
and enjoying
when
your marriage.
And you don't have that positive view, you're going to look to the world for it. And where do you find it? In movies? Where do you find it? In porn?
That's
where do
the
you
lie. Find it? The church was telling me that sex is bad. You shouldn't do it. You're going to hell. All the other representations of sex, everybody seems to be having a great
Everybody's having a fantastic time.
It's so bad. They don't seem to be worried about it.
There are music starts happening.
Sweat,
and fireworks.
Rain.
And people come up and they're excited and their hair is soaked and they feel fantastic.
Where is all this pain?
And you are telling me how bad it is. Something don't match.
That's why when I was, I was like, I'll see for myself.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's what I did.
Versus having.
But you know what? That's because I was a man. Nobody was like, I don't know. Nobody was making me feel bad for that.
I think because, again, we as women are just like
we're
societally.
Taking your virginity.
Right. And so we have to hold on. And that goes back to the idea that.
Try to take it.
That men are breaks. I mean, women are often the breaks, even in sex, like beyond this example that we're using. Women are often the brakes and the man is often
the gas
or the engine. They keep it going. They're pushing the envelope and women have to say, stop, don't do that, don't do this. And another thing I just thought of is that when you don't have this healthy relationship or you don't feel safe, another thing that kind of affects the behavior is I'll be more reserved if I don't have the confidence to say stop.
True.
If I don't trust you to honor my boundaries, yes, and I don't have the voice, the confidence to say, no, I don't like that, stop, then it's also, I'm also just going to put up brakes all the way around.
Yep.
Is anything you got to say?
Not at the moment.
Okay, great. So while we're speaking of pregnancy, we want to talk to you about Simple Health. So when Kevin and I actually were first married, child, we didn't have no sort of type of health insurance.
No.
At all. Mm-mm. And we were in college, and child wasn't trying to have no babies.
We went from our parents' coverage to nobody. We're in no man's land.
Literally.
Luckily, you got that job at the bank before you got pregnant.
No, for real, for real.
So I ain't had no health insurance. We had that little baby.
A doctor will review if you're a good candidate for birth control, recommend a product, and write a prescription. Then your birth control ships to your door on a recurring schedule, no interruptions. It's free with most insurance plans and starts at $15 a month without insurance.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
So this is like, urgent care for birth control. Where you don't have to have like a healthcare provider, you can still get some of the access to things that you need.
And I think that's so important. Access to birth control is something that is important because the number one leading factor in poverty is unplanned pregnancy.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. That's a big bill.
It is a child is a huge expense.
We had two good jobs.
Yes.
And our daycare bill was our most expensive bill. More than our mortgage.
Yes, it was.
Actually, more than our rent in our first apartment. Two kids, more than our mortgage. Like, double our mortgage was paying them kids to go and eat applesauce.
For real, for real. So, child, if this was available when we was young, I definitely would have taken this up because $15 a month.
We might not have Zay Zay and JoJo. We might have Nene and No-No.
So we get it. Birth control, it can be expensive. It's not always accessible. This makes it more accessible and convenient for you. They'll deliver it to you on a recurring basis. It's freaking fantastic. So what is the offer? How do you take advantage of this? Don't miss your chance to try this service for free. My listeners get the $20 prescription fee waived by going to simplehealth.com/lovehour or entering love hour at checkout. That's go to simplehealth.com/lovehour or entering love hour at checkout. You get the $20 prescription fee waived.
Nice.
That's freaking fantastic.
Very fantastic.
Child, that's another month of no positive lines. While we highly recommend Simple Health, this service is not a replacement for routine evaluations by your primary care physician or gynecologist. So basically, y'all make sure y'all go to the doctor, okay? Okay, so what else did I want to talk about with this? So as a man, are you more aware? So I want to say as a man, but I'm also just asking you.
As a Kevin, I don't want to speak for all the men because I ain't going 20 years without a lick.
Okay, as a Kevin, are you aware of your brakes and your turn-ons?
I'll tell you my turn-ons. And accelerators. Accelerators, turn-ons. I like to be desired.
Okay, so tell me more.
I like to be laying in my bed watching Seinfeld. I love a good booty scooch. Booty scooch me in. Let me know what time it is. Like, oh, booty. Oh, it's going to be that type of night. Big fan of booty scooch. Okay, that let me know what's up.
So that's an accelerator.
That's hey, big head in real life. Put a soft booty on you. Like, oh, soft booty? Soft booty?
I literally can't stand you. Keep going. What's your number two?
Number two, probably this is the best.
Okay.
Absolutely the best. I felt like I sound like Rogelio. Absolutely. I love it.
Did we talk about that, by the way? Did we talk about Jennifer's?
Okay. We could later. My wife taking initiative. Okay.
So, okay.
I'm down. I'm chilling watching Seinfeld.
Why do you have to give visual play-by-plays?
I want to crib. There's audio listeners. They want to know what's happening. I'm chilling. Okay. I don't know if nothing's going to happen. I'm hoping for the best, but you never know. You said you were tired. Okay. No booty scooch. We chilling. You go down and reach and say hello to little Kev. Little cat, what you doing? I'm not doing nothing. I'm little right now. I'm just a baby. Hey, man, you want to be big? I mean, if you're serious, I might be a little bigger. Yeah. Hey, well, let me tap you, see if you're ready to be a big boy. I could be big boy if you keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, my God.
Now little Kev is big Kev. He's Super Saiyan now. He's... You turn little Kev into big Kev, I know what time it is.
Okay, so...
Another accelerator.
Okay.
I'm asleep. This is the best. On top of that one, I'm sleeping. I wake up. Naked body? Oh, man. Am I dreaming? I'm awake? I'm alive? Boobs?
Okay.
Boobs?
Okay.
Oh, you asked me?
Okay, we're done. What? But these are physical. Do you have other accelerators?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go to those.
Fresh out the shower. Let me tell you what's sexy.
You said not visual.
This is visual. Physical ain't visual. Physical is touching. Visual is visual. Fresh out the shower. Smelling good. Collarbone is sexy. Hey, what's up with that collarbone?
Okay, but can you stop? Okay. Can you name...
Thongs! A non-visual, non-physical accelerator?
Yes.
Dirty text messages.
That was a good one. But are there any... Okay, but this is so interesting.
You think about stuff that's not related to sex?
Yes.
No, girl.
Because I think...
Get me to the meat and potatoes. Okay. You want salad, appetizer, ain't a bun. Where is the steak?
Well,
I ordered a steak.
The reason
put
why
it
I think...
on my plate. I want to eat that.
Stop talking sometimes.
I don't want bread. I don't want water. I want booty scooch.
I think what's interesting about this conversation is that my thought process with this was so far... so many steps before the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
that it's just amazing how different men and women are, like
me,
more specifically how different me and you
yes.
are. But I think a lot of, and actually no, you can say men and women, because I do believe that
higher desire, lower desire, you're gonna fit
yes
them.
No, I'm not.
Oh, higher desire. Got it.
Because
got it.
Women can be higher desire. Men can be, you know yes. what I mean? So men and women are just different. Your view as a woman may not be my
right.
view,
right,
but
right.
I do think that they're, that we're just different in that way.
Yeah.
And, so the idea of accelerators and the idea of context, meaning, you know, physical, psychological, emotional constructs, social constructs, all of those things playing a role in sex. Are things that I thought of, like, oh, what are things that actually turn me on? Is it, you know, vacuuming? I don't know if that's really it. Like, is it helping me cook the dish?
I wouldn't care if the house is dirty.
I know, but I think what's interesting is for
a
woman, that plays into our mind.
It doesn't affect me at all. You like, come on, Kevin, the house is dirty.
So is there anything, so for you, it's all just, the stimulation is all visual and physical.
Yeah. Because you cooking ain't sexy. Like, I'm hungry. I could eat, but like, I ain't like, ooh, cornbread.
Maybe so on the podcast, the girl was talking that one of the things that, and maybe it's not turned on like sexual arousal as much as it's a turn on like appreciation.
Like, Kev, you're doing good at something, like words of affirmation?
Yes.
I would never say, man, she made me feel good about myself. Words of affirmation. Now sex.
So
me.
One of the ladies was talking about, or the podcast that I was listening to, by the way, it's Anatomy of Marriage, because I know people are going to ask me. That's the podcast I was listening to. Washing her car. She's like, I like my car to be immaculate and like super, super clean. I'm just that person that's like, likes my car to be super clean. And so if my husband's in my car and he leaves stuff, that's a break.
Really?
Yes. And I
get
that.
And is washing your car a turn on?
Well, and that I don't know that it's.
See, it ain't right. That means you can only lose. You can't win.
And that's what I was talking about. You have to be aware of what your accelerators are, because otherwise I can't tell you what to do.
Yeah. Because I just got your car cleaned.
And I don't know that it works that way. You can have brakes and the opposite not be an accelerator.
That's so unfair.
No,
man.
I don't think so.
How
is that unfair? If I have a list and say, these are the things that turn me off, but these
so like
are the things
farting,
that turn me
farting
on.
Farting and burp turns you off, but not farting and not burping doesn't turn you on.
It's not a direct turn on.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
right.
I can only do the breaks. Body image is another one for you. I can't affect you.
Well, so this is the other thing that I think is important. I'm happy you said that. And I'm happy this thought came to my mind.
I'm happy that I'm with you.
I don't want you to take ownership of my sexuality.
And, I'm listening.
And so what you just said was that, wait, say your comment again.
Burping and farting turns you off, but not burping and not farting don't turn you on.
And then you said something after that.
And then
that.
I said, body image, I have no control
Thank
over.
Thank you, body image. Thank you. That's what the one I wanted you to say. Okay. So my body image is not something you can control, and therefore you shouldn't take ownership of.
I wasn't taking ownership.
Yeah, but what you were getting at was body image is something that you have and that I can't help you get over that.
Right.
That's trying to take owner. That's trying to help me get out of this. And what I'm saying is I don't want your help and I don't need your help.
I don't think so. I think that's me saying I don't have any effect on that. I have no say so on your view of your body.
Right. And so was your end goal not to say then you can have these body images and the body image issues and then they then infect the sex that you and I have?
Plead the fifth.
Because I'm right.
You put it that way.
Because I know what your ultimate.
I want my lawyer.
I know what your ultimate goal was.
You don't know my ultimate goal.
Your ultimate goal is.
Booty scooch.
Your ultimate goal is not to say, I'm concerned about this and I want you to have a better body image. Your real concern there is if you don't feel good about yourself, then that affects the potential for me and you to have sex.
You make me sound like a dog.
No. But what I am saying is that you are. But what I also am saying is that
when you repeat my words back to me, it makes me sound bad.
I just repeat them back for clarity and not for my own clarity because I understand you don't.
You're right.
The point
is, I wasn't even aware of my own ulterior motives.
I saw that a mile away. Which is why I said I don't want you. And this is important for I wanted to say.
Do you have a complex about it now?
No, I don't. I'm actually being very clear that it's not a complex, but what I am saying is that in order for any of this, even going back to the example last week and just for you and I and for women that may identify with me or men that may identify, any person that may identify with me, you have to take ownership of your own sexuality. Mm-hmm. And that's identifying your brakes. That's identifying your accelerators and not leaving that responsibility to your spouse to figure out. And that's why I say if I have body image issues, then those are things that I have to figure out and not allow you to try. Well, try this. Well, maybe try these affirmations. Well, maybe try this.
To tell
well,
you, girl, you look good to me. Exactly. You look good to me because that ain't going to change
it's
nothing.
It's not going to change anything. That's and it is crazy. My sexuality. It is my body, and these are things that I have to work out because then it's not about you, it's about me. So what I was saying is it's my responsibility, my body, my sexuality.
Yes.
And I think the way that I've grown up and a lot of people that identify with my story is we relinquish that ownership to our spouse. And right. So we're expecting you, well, you tell me where I should feel good. Well, you tell me. And the point is, I have to take ownership of that.
That's interesting, though, because let me say something about say that. Shamira talked about that, and that was probably in February. She even actually gave some practical.
You're talking about the V-date.
V-date mm-hmm. methods.
Which I need to do.
That. It's May now, and I was just wondering if.
I need to figure out when's the appropriate time.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I'm out of town a lot, so maybe that'll be the time. And then now I'm back in town and that hasn't happened. Do we need to send the children away? The children will be away.
Those do help. That's why vacation sex is such a thing. The term vacation sex is a thing. Why? Because it uproots women. It uproots people and allows them to disconnect from
the everyday life.
Their everyday life. And like slightly remove themselves from the constructs of being a mom, being a wife, being an employee, going to like all of those like status quo
duties. You ain't
even
cooking. Usually either eating out. So you don't have to clean up the room.
You don't have to clean.
All those things are really. That's what it was.
Yes. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. You don't have to do homework.
I don't have to do
anything.
You
don't have a kid that's yelling at you with diapers and wipes and pacifier. Like you are taken out of that environment and it allows you to just reconnect with yourself. And that's why literally vacation sex is a thing. Again, it takes you out of that context, puts you in a new context.
I like it.
You like it? Okay. I think that's all we have to say.
That's all we have to say for today.
So thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. If you don't know, we have a conference that is like 15 months away in July 2020 in Atlanta, Georgia. We are inside of 100 tickets for VIP. We're at probably 89, I want to say.
Mm-hmm. 89 left? Dang.
89, about 89 tickets left with for VIP. With over a year to go? With over a year to go. We have payment plans. It's going to be phenomenal. If you watched or saw any of the footage from Kev's birthday party, then you know that the event planner for that is also doing the coordinating for the vow renewal ceremony. And I told y'all she was bomb.
And she's check the statistics.
And child, she's going to be She's going to be bomber. She has a whole what are they called on Instagram where you have that bubble
highlight?
Thank you. She has a she has a highlight on her Instagram, Kevin's birthday, and you can see like her decorations and the just the level of detail she put into it in like 7 days. Like honestly, she's super bomb. So you can go to thelovehour.com to register. Registration's available now. We have payment plans. We have all the things. And if you're listening to this and you're like, you know what? I like really like Melissa and Kevin and the Love Hour, but I feel like the conference is just for married people. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, single ladies and guys.
Stay tuned, because I'm fin to be doing some things and announcing some other things. So just stay tuned. I haven't forgotten about you. I did initially, and then y'all kind of came for me, so I didn't forget about y'all. So we're going to be putting some things together for you guys as well. And I think that's it. Thank you to our sponsors, Audible, Third Love, and Simple Health. Make sure you support them. And African Pride. Supporting them is supporting us. Don't forget the giveaway that's happening for African Pride in Miss Kev on Stage's YouTube. Just comment 72. 78. Is it 72 or 78?
78. Bra sizes with Third Love. 78 is the number to activate your gift.
Okay. Thank you very much. We see you next time. Bye.